Ah, summer. Long, warm days and nights, drinks and snacks by the pool or on the beach, an afternoon at the ballpark, an evening at an outdoor concert. In this summer, paying $4 a gallon in gas to get to all of those fun places. Welcome back to Open Line. I'm Mike Thompson, sitting in for Fred Anderle today. This hour, how to go on vacation and avoid months of payments of gasoline charges to your credit card. We'll discuss some great vacation spots, you know, fairly close to home with two Ohio travel writers. Steve Stevens, he's the travel writer for the Columbus Dispatch. He joins us. Welcome, Steve.
Hi, thanks, Mike. Glad to be here.
And Gary Williams, he is the author of the book Historic Tours of Ohio. Gary, so you actually want us to learn something on vacation? Is that what you're saying?
If you do it right, you can learn something in spite of yourself.
Oh, okay. Even it can be fun, too. Right?
Yes.
All right. So we're going to be talking about historic things to visit and, you know, things that perhaps aren't so historic but fun anyway. If you have vacation tips or if you are looking for vacation tips, give us a call at 292-8513. 292-8513, area code 614 if you're outside of the Columbus area. Or you can email us your tips or questions at openline@wosu.org. Steve, let's first start from the business aspects. You talk with folks in the travel industry
a lot in your job
for the Columbus Dispatch. What are they saying this summer? Are people staying home or at least close to home?
Actually, yeah, they're staying closer to home. People still are wanting to travel. I think more and more people are seeing travel as kind of a necessity in their life. But, of course, with the gas prices, they might not want to go quite as far. So, you know, we've been concentrating on some of the places closer to home. Mm-hmm. And there are some great destinations in Ohio. You can get back and forth and still have some gas left in your tank. So,
is it a wash where people like – people who would go to North Carolina are staying close to Ohio, but we're not getting the folks from North Carolina who would come to Ohio. I mean, is it balancing out people staying close to home everywhere?
I think that's the case. Yeah. I think that's the case. So some of the travel businesses aren't getting the folks from out of state or long distances, but they may be picking up more of the folks who are discovering what's closer to home. I think the whole travel business is down a bit, but you do get kind of that wash action. And hopefully folks can discover some of the things they may have just overlooked in their own backyard.
292-8513 is the number to call if you'd like to join in our discussion. We're looking at some – I know it's July, what, 10th, so people may have already planned their summer vacations. But perhaps you're having a staycation, which is the new term for this summer, and you're looking for things to do on your week when you're staying put in your house, but you're looking for quick day trips or maybe a one- or two-day trip. Gary Williams, historic sites, there are plenty around. What are the most popular right now?
I think right now, actually, I've heard that a lot of the sites are down in Ohio, which is kind of a shame, but people are really cutting back, I think. But as Steve was saying, you may do things in-state rather than out-of-state, and this year maybe instead of going to Gettysburg, you might go to Fort Meigs. Uh-huh. So you can do some of the local sites, I think.
Places are offering incentives and discounts. I've read some hotels even are saying we'll pay for your gas or part of your gas bill.
That's been a very popular thing this summer and a story you can read about in the Dispatch in a few weeks. Uh-huh. But, yeah, gas cards, it seems these days for some reason that a $50 gas card is worth more than $50 in other commodities, including Federal Reserve notes. I guess it's just on people's mind. And I had one hotel executive tell me yesterday that folks kind of have in their mind how much they want to spend in each category. Mm-hmm. And if you get a gas card and you go to a hotel, then you can say, well, you know, I would have spent 50 more, but that's been made up for. So it kind of it is a psychological thing as well.
We've been lucky because we really haven't had to. I mean, it has crept up a bit, but over the past 10 years, its gas prices have remained fairly stable. It's just in the past year that really has hit home and then combined with other things like rising healthcare costs and food prices, which we just talked about for the last hour. Gas prices are – there's nothing like that $50 bill that you see when you're pumping your gas.
It's actually affecting driving this time for the first time. We used to be – we just complain and keep pumping, and now it's actually people are driving less.
Yeah. 292-8513, 292-8513 if you have a question for our guest. We're speaking with Steve Stevens. He is the travel writer for the Columbus Dispatch and Gary Williams, author of the book – historic tours of Ohio. We're going to look at some nearby travel destinations and day trips and that kind of thing. So let's use geography as our guide. We'll start close to home. Say people are planning one of those staycations. They're taking time off from work, but they're looking for something to do that are, say, within 90 minutes away. Gary, what's your top pick within, say, a 90-minute drive?
We talked earlier, Steve said he's not familiar with Franklin County sites because he goes out of county.
Yes.
So maybe I could say there are some things right in the neighborhood that are well worth the trip. I suppose a good place to start would be the Thurber House is a nice site.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually an interesting spot because it's devoted to literature and history both.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it's right near downtown.
Yep. The Kelton House downtown is a terrific,
right.
terrific program.
And an encouraging thing that's being done is the Rickenbacker Granville Woods House is now being developed as a site.
Uh-huh.
And that's particularly encouraging because, sadly, too many sites are now having to compromise and cut down their hours or even close down because they can't manage.
Yeah.
And to actually have a new museum beginning is kind of a good sign. So I think that's a good thing for Columbus in the future.
And I should put in a plug for the Columbus Zoo and Aquarium.
Yes.
It is a fantastic place to visit. I've just stopped bothering to go to zoos in other cities I go to because I'm almost invariably disappointed after being so familiar with the Columbus Zoo. So that's a really nice destination close to home.
And I hadn't been up there in about a year, and it's really changed up there. Of course, the Zumbezi Bay Water Park is there now, and that – how is that doing? What's the early rate? We had a kind of a wet June, but that's got to be helping the zoo as well.
I wish I could tell you, Mike.
Okay, we don't know. We have to assume that it's doing well, but that's a new amenity up there anyway.
Exactly.
They've taken over Wyandotte, the old Wyandotte Lake.
And they're certainly promoting that, and
and
I hope they're doing well because it is a great site, a great local site.
And the zoo, it's continually changing. So if you haven't been there in a year or two, there's the new Asia exhibit, which is only a few years old, and they've expanded quite a bit up there. So,
absolutely,
it's close to home, and people come from out of town to visit our zoo. And I think that people here may not appreciate what we have in our own backyard.
Exactly, that's one of those sites that people come to from other cities to see. So we should take advantage of it.
Speaking of zoos, Rick has a comment about the wilds. Go ahead, Rick. You're on the air.
Hi, Steve Stevens.
Yes, sir.
You weren't the guitar player for Billy Idol, were you?
That was another life.
Okay, great. anything of interest in the area near Cambridge in the wilds?
Oh, the wilds, absolutely. And they're affiliated with the Columbus Zoo now, and they've got more than 10,000 acres out there.
Is it a great thing to do? Is it a nice thing to do?
I've never been myself. I've heard it's terrific.
Oh, yeah. Spending a day with your family out there. If they're interested at all in wild animals, seeing animals in natural habitats, you're going to see rhinoceroses and giraffes out on the closest thing you're going to see to an African savanna in North America out there. So
hey,
it's really a nice location.
A scientist friend of mine was very impressed with it as well. So, I mean, that's a pretty good reviewer right there. He thought it was well worth a trip down there.
They're also adding things new all the time. And one of the things I'm doing this weekend is I'm taking the Sunset Safari, which is one of their high-end adventures where you get a meal there at their building on the top, and you actually get to spend sunset with the animals and more of a petting zoo kind of thing.
Well, we'll be joining you. We'll be on that.
All right, I'll see you then.
Well, there you go.
We're trying to figure out if we can package something earlier in the part of the day in that same location or nearby.
Any historic sites down there?
Actually, the National Road Zane Grey Museum is not that far from there. That's an interesting site. It's a museum has a dual function. It features the studio of the Western writer Zane Grey recreated, and it also is devoted to the National Road, U.S. 40, the first national highway.
Wow.
And that is right on the I-70, not that far from the wild, so that might be a good side trip for you.
What kind of things would you see when you go there?
They've got an interesting diorama that covers the entire National Road era from basically it was a plank road up until when the interstate was built. And it's kind of an interesting little site there. And they've also got pottery as a side collection there because the clay soil is very good for pottery making in that area.
That was the pottery capital of the world,
right.
Or at least of Ohio, anyway.
Okay.
We did a story on that last year. It's great.
I'll take the rest off the air. If there's any natural wonders or lakes or parks or something like that, I'll take the answer off the air. Thank you for your show, and we'll look forward to seeing you on Saturday.
Okay, great.
Thank you, Rick. Natural wonders down in that area?
Flint Ridge is an interesting place nearby. It's actually in Licking County, but it's not that far. And that's a rock outcropping that the ancient Indians used to make tools with. It was a very important resource for them in prehistoric times. Mm-hmm. So that's an interesting site.
Now, one of my favorite things out in that area, which I don't think our caller is going to do on his trip to the wilds, but I had a two-day canoe trip down the Muskingum River, and they have hand-operated locks, the last hand-operated lock system, I think, in North America. And these locks date back well more than 100 years.
1841, I think, is when they were first opened.
Leave it to a historian.
Sorry. Got to have the dates.
He's got the dates on the tip of his tongue.
But and I'm not a boater by any stretch of the imagination, but I had a lot of fun, and we stayed at an inn along the way overnight, and that was a terrific thing to do close to home. And a lot of people don't know that we have this stretch of river with, I believe, 11 or 12 locks from Zanesville all the way down to Marietta that you can actually boat or canoe or kayak.
Yeah, I mean, you think Erie Canal with locks, and you don't think Ohio necessarily. Marietta, you're from Marietta.
I'm from the Marietta area, yes.
That's a terrific little city.
That's a hotbed of history, yeah. And I tell people whenever I give a speech, I make sure I mention this point. Ohio really was the first state settled by free Americans. That you had your 13 original colonies and your first three states added were all settled by British subjects. But Marietta was founded 6 months after the Constitution was signed. Mm-hmm. So we really are the first state by free Americans to be settled. And it was the beginning of the westward movement here. So we really are the start of it all. So there's a lot of a real important history, I think. And it puts it into a national context that we really fit into national history as well.
Now I was down there once and we stayed in I forget the name of it now, an old hotel right on the river.
The Lafayette. Right.
And it was an old, charming hotel.
Beautiful place.
And nicely remodeled. And
downtown, yeah.
And downtown and not that expensive. It was a nice place to stay. It gave you a feel of the history of that place, and it's right there on the river. And we walked to West Virginia. So you can walk across the bridge, and you're right over there. 292-8513, 292-8513, if you'd like to join our discussion. If you have a tip, if you have a question about, vacation spots close to home, or if you've found a deal that's maybe not so close to home, we'd love to hear from you. Let's stick with Columbus, the Serpent Mounds and things like that are great historic areas people can check out that they may not think of if they're planning a trip to the beach in North Carolina, but this year they're staying close to home.
And the mounds also were recently named National Heritage Places or International Heritage Places, and there really are a claim here. It's an impressive thing that we've got, that there was an actual prosperous empire thousands of years ago that was headquartered in Ohio, and there's enough traces of it left that we can actually see something and learn something about it.
Yeah, folks forget that there's a national park between us and Chillicothe at the Hopewell Culture National Historic Park, and that's a wonderful place to learn a little bit about this prehistoric culture. And from there, you can visit many mounds in southern Ohio, including Serpent Mound, which is just an amazing thing to see.
That's the one they call our Stonehenge, right?
Yes, the Serpent Mound.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about how many hundreds of years ago these were created, and how you're standing there, and what was here long before strip malls and subdivisions and things like that here in Ohio. 292-8513, 292-8513, or you can email us at openline@wosu.org. Steve, you've written about state parks. Their reservations were up about 8%. Early in the spring, we got 10 inches of rain in June, which didn't help them. But state parks are an option here and a very nice option.
Oh, absolutely. We have a great park system. They're suffering some budgetary problems at the moment. Mm-hmm. And, of course, having fewer people visit because of the rain doesn't help. But we have some great state parks and some great sites. And, of course, right now the admission to the parks is free. And you're going to find some great nature centers. You're going to find some great hikes. Some great natural scenic wonders that a lot of folks don't even realize Ohio has. Hocking Hill State Park is just a fabulous site. Actually, it's a group of many sites.
Yeah.
And if you're used to just looking out at the flat cornfields of central Ohio, it's hard to imagine that 45 miles southeast you have these beautiful rock formations, cliffs, caves, waterfalls, and all again, you know, with just a couple gallons of gas will get you there.
And if you want to hike, it's not a terrible hike to go from Ash Cave to Old Man's Cave.
Not at all.
Fall. 6 miles.
Yeah. And as a matter of fact, at Ash Cave, there's a paved trail back to the cave, so which is wheelchair and stroller accessible. So folks who might not often get a chance to see a scenic wonder like that can actually experience that trail at Ash Cave.
And you don't have to wait for the fall. You can go down there this summer and get out of the heat a little bit because you're in the shade and it's elevated a little bit. Burr Oak State Park, you've written, is a undiscovered gem. Tell us a little bit about that park.
Well, it's set off in a very strange part of the state. I think it's northern Athens County. Anyway, there are no main roads that go through there. Mm-hmm. And I had never been in that particular corner of the state until I went. And I was fortunate enough. I did go there in the fall. And the road there that goes past the park, is it Ohio 78?
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful, beautiful road, like something you'd see in a car commercial. The park itself, beautiful lake, forests, wonderful hiking, and you're not going to be crowded out because it is a little bit off the beaten path. So just take a few side roads down there, and again, it's not that far from Columbus.
Is there camping there?
Yes, there's camping. I've been told, though, that often that campground doesn't fill when many others do because it is off the beaten path. So, again, you might get a little more solitude than you would at one of the popular campgrounds when everything around you is going to be full up.
Okay. If I could add, too, the Buckeye Trail connects both Burr Oak and Hocking Hills and several other sites. I'm biased because I'm a board member of the Buckeye Trail Board of Trustees, but it's a 1,440-mile loop hiking trail goes around the state.
And if you do that, you're not going to use any gas.
Yeah, that's right. None at all. That's right.
That's right.
You might need a spare pair of boots, but you won't need extra gas.
292-8513, 292-8513 if you want to join our discussion. We're talking travel close to home here in this time of $4 a gallon gas. Earl, you're on Open Line on WOSU.
Are you allowed to talk about a private museum?
Yeah, absolutely.
Werther's up in Dover, Ohio.
Say that again, please, Earl.
Werther's.
Okay.
I've been there.
Werther's. He's the greatest carver in the world. Went to the second greatest school, carved trains out of ivory and mahogany. He's gone now, but the museum is there by the family. And all the trains have moving parts, and it's something to see. I think one of the presidents sent him all over the United States with his displays. And the New York Central Railroad, I think, sent him out for a long time. And he invented his own steel to carve with.
Interesting.
And it would take about 15 gallons of gasoline. It's a corner of I-77 and Route 39, and people could see the Amish country while they're up there and get a couple good meals. And Schoenberg there's another historical site up there, Zor.
Zor and Fort Lawrence are both nearby there.
Okay.
Yes, and they would be if somebody's interested in history. And one more thing, it's a little out of the way, but everybody ought to see the Air Force Museum at Dayton one time, especially if they got teenagers.
Yeah, I just went there this spring, and you really need – you have to go back there twice to see everything if you want to see it all, especially if you have kids with you.
And the great thing is the Air Force Museum, free admission.
It is, and it really is impressive. They do a nice job, and you get to see so much. What was so much stuff there? The name of that museum again in Dover?
Werther's
Museum. And I have to second the caller's opinion. I actually was sent out there on assignment, and I was kind of skeptical. Carving museum, you're right. Uh-huh. But you get out there and you see it, and it is really – it is an impressive display of carving, much more than I thought I was going to see. Beautiful trains, entire scenes done of wood, and Mr. Werther's story is just fascinating too. And you can go on tours of the Werther factory. They still make knives there.
Very good knives.
Very good knives, right.
I'm a native of Dover, so I'm biased that way also. In fact, Ernest Mooney Werther was a friend of my grandfather's.
Okay.
So, and Steve said earlier, sometimes you don't appreciate what you've got in your own area. And from Dover, I never thought that was a big deal. because it was something I could walk to. But, you know, you look back at it and think that is a pretty impressive place.
And I guarantee you won't find any place else like that in anywhere I've seen.
All right. Thanks for the call. 292-8513, 292-8513. Let's take one more call before we go to our break. Ron, you're on the air.
Yes, this is Rod. And I wanted to mention, you know, one possibility is to take a bicycling vacation around the state. You know, there you can buy what are known as pannier bags and bike pack around the state, maybe using the various state parks as your destination for the night. And also, you know, they mentioned, you know, there's the Hocking Hills as a possibility for, you know, going to. And also, I believe the Annie Oakley home is open in Greenville, Ohio, for touring.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. How's the network to get between the bikeways or bike paths or roadways to get between the state parks on a bike if somebody wanted to do that? Do you know, Rod?
Well, basically, if you use the back roads. Mm-hmm. You know, you can get maps. You know, like I said, you can use your state maps or Columbus Outdoor Pursuits has has maps of bikeable roads in Ohio. Mm-hmm. Also, there's a I'm trying to think of it. I think it's Delorme has a good map, for using your back, finding the various back roads. And there's also local information you can use. So far as, basically, and like I said, you get pannier bags and so forth, and you can pack everything you need on the back of the bike.
And some ambition. Thanks, Rod. Appreciate the call.
You know, those greenways are really a growing phenomenon. More and more local governments are investing in them and in interconnecting greenways. Near where I live out in Madison County, there's a fairly new one, a stretch from London, kind of northeast, mm-hmm. connecting to another greenway that goes all the way down through Xenia and down into southwestern Ohio. So we're seeing more and more opportunities made available for that kind of travel.
That's just that's a great vacation activity. You don't have to go see anything. You just go find a bike path and pedal for a few hours.
And usually there are things to see along the way, though. So if you want to take a stop, pedal down that path and mm-hmm. stop in Yellow Springs and see some great mm-hmm. sights, have a great meal, and then be on your way and pedal a little more and find a good place for the night.
Okay. We're going to take a break here on Open Line on WOSU. I'm Mike Thompson, sitting in for Fred Angeli today. Our guests are Steve Stevens, he's the travel writer for the Columbus Dispatch, and Gary Williams, author of the book Historic Tours of Ohio. We're looking for creative ways to vacation this summer and not spend a lot at the gas pump. Open Line will continue on WOSU 820 NPR News.
Next time on Day to Day.
3, 2, 1.
Many Californians are opting for Disneyland and other nearby attractions for their vacations this summer. They're saving gas and money, but are they saving their sanity?
There's too many people. It costs more to get here. You can't even find a place to escape to anymore.
It's a small world after all.
Getting a taste of homegrown tourism next time on Day to Day.
Day to Day begins in just about 30 minutes, starting at noon, right here on WOSU 820 NPR News. Good morning, I'm Amy Jurevich. It is 75 degrees at 11:30. Thanks for joining us for Open Line. Your membership with WOSU provides for the news and information you rely on. And in this pivotal election year, your support is more important than ever. Becoming a member is easy when you go online to wosu.org/give. And thank you for your continued support of WOSU 820 NPR News. Don't forget that weekday mornings you can prepare for the day with Morning Edition, starting at 5 a.m., now on WOSU 89.7 FM. In the weather forecast for today, mostly sunny skies, a high around 84. Partly cloudy tonight and a low of 63. Beautiful day for Friday, sunny and a high of 89. And for Saturday, a beautiful day again, mostly sunny and a high near 91. We don't have a chance of rain until Sunday. There is a chance of showers, maybe a thunderstorm Sunday morning. Then mostly cloudy and a high of 84. And now back to Open Line.
Welcome back to Open Line on WOSU 820 NPR News. I'm Mike Thompson, sitting in for Fred Anderle today. Our two guests are we're talking travel. Travel relatively close to home with Steve Stevens, the travel writer for the Columbus Dispatch, and Gary Williams. He's a historian and author of the book Historic Tours of Ohio. Gary, you briefly mentioned battlefields earlier in the hour. What's your favorite and what would you recommend for as far as battlefields or forts here in Ohio?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that because I also wrote a book called The Forts of Ohio, which was a survey of all the military installations that were built in Ohio during the Pioneer Era. I had it in mind as a tourism book, but a lot of times there's just a plaque available at the site, so that's obviously not as worth a drive, especially at $4 a gallon. But there are at least three places where forts have been partially or completely reconstructed and some that have museums. Mm-hmm. Fort Meigs, obviously, is the best one in Ohio. The state recently put a whole lot of money into refurbishing that, and it's an exciting story and a well-developed site.
What is the story behind that fort?
Fort Meigs was built in 1813 during the War of 1812 at to guard the Maumee Rapids, which was the head of navigation. Mm-hmm. Warships could actually go that far up the Maumee River, and in fact the fort was shelled by British ships during the War of 1812, which is amazing to think that the suburbs of Toledo were once attacked by the Royal Navy. Mm-hmm. But it was the site of a fight there. The soldiers hid up in the fort, and Tecumseh complained that they were hiding in the earth and behind logs like groundhogs because they wouldn't come out and fight. But they didn't because it was better for them to be there, and it was the site of a significant battle during the War of 1812. Mm-hmm. Fort Recovery is another site that is partially reconstructed. They have a facade of the fort with some blockhouses.
Where is that?
That is in Fort Recovery, Ohio, right near the Indiana line.
Okay.
The name comes from it was built on the site of the greatest defeat ever suffered by an American army, which was in 1791 when Arthur Sinclair, the governor of Ohio, led 1,400 men, and they got ambushed, and over 950 of the men were killed or captured.
This was against the Indians, right?
Right. Indians, and captured all of their artillery and put the army to flight. And Anthony Wayne, a few years later, built a site on the fort, and he named it Fort Recovery, as in we recovered the grounds and we're recovering from our defeat.
Mm-hmm. Civil War, not so much here. You have to go a little bit farther south.
Buffington Island is the one site that you can actually do something in Ohio, and there's a few monuments there, and there was an actual battlefield. One thing you can do in Ohio is you could take a tour of Civil War generals' homes who are from Ohio, and you can almost do that geographically. You can start out at General Grant's home in Point Pleasant in Georgetown where he grew up, and then go on up Route 22 and you can visit Sherman and Sheridan's home. Mm-hmm. And then you go on a little farther up 22 and you go to Caddis, and right near there is where Custer grew up. And then the McCook House is up State Route 9 from there, which was a family that produced, I think, six officers and generals in one family.
And then, Gary, related to that, there are some tremendous Underground Railroad sites in Ohio.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is, I find that incredibly interesting. The Kelton House being right in our backyard, the Underground Railroad site, but Cincinnati has the museum.
And that's a museum, and for some reason they haven't been getting the numbers down there that they would like to see, but I would recommend anyone with any interest in that part of history to go down there and see it because it is a great museum. And then you can just go down the river a little bit to Ripley and see some great great Underground Railroad sites there, some really important sites, the Rankin House and the
Parker's House. John Parker.
John Parker's house, and his story is amazing.
It is an impressive one.
Right.
And if you want to combine trips to Cincinnati, it's right next to the ballpark.
There you go.
You go see a Reds game and then either before or after go to the museum.
And that's something, I mean, the sports opportunities for the sports fans in Ohio and in the summertime. I like to go see minor league games, and there are six or seven minor league teams in Ohio. And a lot of times it's a lot cheaper to take a family there and have a fun day at the ballpark. And it really is fun at some of these minor league parks. I mean, obviously including Cooper Stadium, and this is going to be the last chance you're going to get to go to Cooper Stadium because of the new one being built. But they're also a great little experience in Chillicothe, the Chillicothe Paints, an independent league team, and you know, the beers are cheaper, the hot dogs are cheaper, the Cokes are cheaper, and you can get right up on the meet the players, who are probably not much older than your kids are, and that is another fun thing to do for sports fans.
Okay, 292-8513. 292-8513, or you can email us at openline@wosu.org. Tyler, welcome to Open Line.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead, Tyler. You're on the air.
Okay. Yeah, as I'm sure it was me. I grew up actually on the Maumee River, just speaking of that. And a little further down is a little town called Grand Rapids, Ohio. And they have they've restored part of the old Ohio Canalways, which has a working lock, which is pretty cool. And right beside it is actually a water-powered, by turbine, a mill, an old, I think it was a corn mill. I'm not quite sure what kind of mill it was, but it's a historic little town. It had flooded, and they have a lot of history. It was always a school field trip. So that's something that's just a little further down from Fort Meigg that is also a very neat spot to stop by.
Okay. Thanks, Tyler. Appreciate the call.
Yeah, Grand Rapids, again, another undiscovered little gem, kind of off the beaten path, but as he mentioned, there's a canal boat right there. A beautiful restored mill. I think it's operated by the Lucas County Metro Parks, and you can go in. Also, a great gift shop. And then across the river is the town of Grand Rapids, which has a cute little downtown. There are some nice shops, and there are also some little inns and B&Bs in the area if you would like to make a couple days of it. So that's something that another place I didn't know about until I just kind of stumbled across it.
Mm-hmm. Waynesville, also the antique capital of Ohio, is another spot. It's not too far away if you like antiquing. Not my cup of tea, but
I've been down there antiquing, and it's great, and you get a lot of people who like to go down there and do that, and you get a big variety, a lot of dealers, and. So if that's your thing, that's a great place to go.
Say you want to go 2-3 hours outside of Columbus. Maybe it's a manageable day trip if you want to be ambitious and get up early in the morning. Or you can just stay over a night or two and without costing too much in gas. Steve, you've written about Pittsburgh recently and how that city has changed and it's become really quite an attractive option for tourists.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing how beautiful it is if you still think about it from the, you know, have that 60s or 70s vision of the smoky skies of Pittsburgh. And I'm just there recently, and it's a great visitor's town. I mean, they have some tremendous museums there. They benefit from the Carnegies, of course, and some of the money of the industrialists who put that to use in other ways, such as some great museums. Of course, the sports opportunities there. The PNC Park, where the Pirates play, is one of the great new ballparks if you're a baseball fan. The funicular railroads, the inclines up Mount Washington that take you about 3 minutes to go up about 600 feet. They date back more than 100 years. You get to see some of the old workings of these old-style railroads. And when you get to the top, you get a magnificent view of the Three Rivers area. So Pittsburgh, definitely worth a trip. Also, something there that I've written about before but not this last time is the National Aviary, of all things. Interested in all things birds, you can go to the National Aviary, see eagles and penguins and owls and all of this up close. And so if your kids are interested in that kind of thing, there's another little thing to do in Pittsburgh, the National Aviary.
Our producer, Amy Jurevich, says if you get to the top of the incline, you go to DeFuhr's Ice Cream Delight. Now, full disclosure, her family owns it. So.
Too bad she didn't tell me before I went. I missed it. But next time, Amy,
I'll be there. Tell them that Amy sent you.
I will do that.
That's a very interesting place. I mean, geographically, too. I mean, there's sharp hills, and it's a very interesting topography there. Johnstown, Pennsylvania is not too far from there, and the Johnstown Flood Museum.
The Flood Museum, again,
is very interesting.
And unique, too. It's that and very moving. This thing that happened, you know, more than 100 years ago, the
1889.
Thank you. I'm glad. Yeah, I got the historian sitting right next to me. But very moving to read about that. Read about the founding of the American Red Cross that was connected to that, and all of the effort that was made to help these people after this terrible disaster. And even a century later, it's still quite an experience to learn about what happened to this town.
And it's incredible. You go to the museum and then you go into downtown Johnstown and you can see just – you can picture the devastation because the bridge is still there that was aflame that we've read about in David McCullough's book. And it's just a really – it's a very interesting place, and Western Pennsylvania is an interesting place. Okay, let's go to Sandy. You're on the line. Go ahead, Sandy. Welcome to Open Line.
Hi. I was thinking if you're down in the Chillicothe area – you could see the outdoor drama of Tecumseh, which is absolutely wonderful.
And have you been there?
Yes.
Oh, you've been there, Sandy.
I've been there.
Not in several years. Uh-huh. So it's something that probably not in a decade, but I've been down there a couple times. It's quite an experience when as the sun sets and the lights go down and you see this production. You know, I'm not sure how it might have changed since I've been there, mm-hmm. but it was quite a marvelous way to spend an evening.
Okay, thanks, Sandy.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. 292-8513. If you'd like to jump on and talk travel with our two travel writers, we have Steve Stevens from the Columbus Dispatch and Gary Williams, author of the book Historic Tours of Ohio. Indianapolis is another option, 3 hours away. Indy 500, of course, but their downtown is. It's got a lot to offer. They have a symphony there that's still playing.
Yeah, unlike some towns we've been in. Indianapolis, again, another just great town. I'd never spent any time there until I got this job and I went mm-hmm. down. Every place has a reason to visit. Indianapolis has this great downtown monument, the Soldiers and Sailors Monument, which is
Circle Center.
Yeah. And just that in itself is fabulous to see. There are many beautiful old and large war monuments in downtown mm-hmm. Indianapolis. And then, of course, they've got all of the sports connections. They've got the building a new football arena, and they've got the downtown basketball arena, and they've got the minor league baseball team right downtown, yeah. all within walking distance. They've got the White River Park right downtown and the old canal walk. So Indianapolis, again, is another place close to home. And you might not think of going there to visit, but it's definitely worth seeing.
And that's a place where you can get a hotel room in downtown Indy and you walk to all these places. They're really pretty close together.
Exactly. No need to take your car out of the garage once you park it, because you just walk downtown to every location, including the White River Park, mm-hmm. State Park, the zoo, the botanical gardens.
Gary, have you ever been to the Indiana Museum in Indianapolis? I mean, that's a terrific historical museum of Indiana.
No, I have not been there.
Yeah, that's right on that canal as well. And that's
they
really
also have a Benjamin Harrison monument, or his home is a museum in Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm. And they have a museum of Western art, the Idlehorn Museum.
Native American art,
which yeah. is, for folks who are interested in that, it's mm-hmm. probably, I think, one of the largest collections in the world.
Okay, 292-8513, 292-8513. Pat, welcome to Open Line. Go ahead, Pat.
Oh, I just tuned in about 10 minutes ago, so I hope I'm not repeating myself, but my grandchildren were here for about 5 days from Montana, and they just nonstop visited things, including the Air Force Museum, which I think you've already talked about, but mm-hmm. I think people should know that the most visited museum on the Mall in Washington is the Air and Space Museum, and our Air Force Museum is probably four times the size of that.
I agree with that.
So it's a real – they closed the place down. They loved it. Mm-hmm. They also went up to the NFL Hall of Fame in mm-hmm. Canton because they're big sports fans. They enjoyed that. They went to Clippers game, the Crew game. Also, the Ohio Caverns. I don't know if that's been mentioned, but it's out past Marysville, and you actually go – you know, way underground, and there's about three rooms full of stalactites and stalagmites, and it's very, very interesting. I don't know if that's been mentioned.
Now, is that different than the Olentangy Caverns?
Yeah, that's different. It's okay. Much, much larger.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, I heard you talking about art, and being a docent, I've got to say that we have the third probably finest art museum bar none, and that's next to the Met and the National Gallery. Cleveland ranks right up there as the top art museum, mm-hmm. as does Toledo. So we have two real gems, and there's the new glass museum that just opened. That's just full of, you know, ancient glass, probably the largest collection of glass in the nation in Toledo. So I also thought I'd mention, if I'm going on and on, just cut me off.
We'll take one more.
I was going to say, have you mentioned Rails for Trails at all?
We've talked a little bit about bikeways.
Bikeways. And there's a book called Rails for Trails. Uh-huh. There's Amish country. I mean, I could just go on and on. I think it's not that I don't want to talk about Pennsylvania and Indiana, but I think we have a ton of stuff right here in Ohio.
That's right.
That's right. Yeah, you need Indiana. Pennsylvania.
Okay. That's right. Thanks, Pat. Okay, appreciate the call. Great tips there. You might not think of when you're always looking at the brochures for North Carolina and California and Florida and the Gulf Coast and things like that. But now if you're looking to vacation here, these are just terrific ideas. 292-8513 if you'd like to share some.
For museum fans, as she said, I mean, we have some great, great museums in Ohio. Mm-hmm. She mentioned the Cleveland Art Museum, and that's on at University Circle up there. There's surrounded by museums, Botanical Garden, the Western Reserve Historical Society Museum. You can spend a whole day seeing art, natural history, Ohio history. Mm-hmm. You go to the gardens. And the Toledo Museum, as she mentioned, the Glass Pavilion, a unique spot. You can go see wonderful glass-blowing demonstrations. And, of course, that's a spot that, you know, where Toledo is kind of celebrating its history. It's putting because it was such a big center of glassmaking. And so you're also not just seeing the art, but some of the history of the area.
292-8513, or you can email us at openline@wosu.org. Let's go to Tony. You're on the air. Go ahead, Tony.
Hi. I wanted to plug the WOSU coupon book.
No, I didn't ask you to call, did I, Tony?
No, you didn't.
Okay, just want to make sure listeners know that.
With a contribution, I think it's of $75, you can get a coupon book from WOSU that has a number of bed and breakfasts, where you get buy one, get one free, with some limitations. And there are some outstanding bed and breakfasts, like the Inn at Cedar Falls in Hocking County.
I've been there. Very nice.
And there are some other ones that have been featured in the Dispatch. And it can take a while to get this coupon book when you make your contribution. But I think...
Not too long, though.
When you make, I think that if you make previous arrangements, you can go and pick up your coupon book.
Okay.
And there are some terrific ones all over Ohio, and it makes it worth the contribution just to get the opportunity to go to these bed and breakfasts.
Okay. Thank you, Tony.
Bye-bye.
Appreciate your call. And again, we didn't ask Tony to call, but that is, it's called the WOSU member card, and it's one of the benefits of being a member of WOSU. And it's terrific. You get museum discounts and things like that. Bob, we'll go to you. Go ahead, Bob. You're on the air. Hello, Bob. Yes, go ahead. Yeah.
Sorry, I had a bunch of static right when you said my name. I just wanted to echo your comments about Pittsburgh. We went over there, and the incline is incredible. It's a beautiful city. It's not what it looked like in 1975 when I was there. And Steve Stevens, I love your writing. You got one of the best jobs in the world. I can't imagine a better job.
And you can't have it.
I also put a plug in for another bed and breakfast, the White Oak Inn, and it's outside of Danville. It's actually up on Route 715. It's absolutely beautiful. You won't have a better meal. It's very close to Amish country. My wife and I have made a hobby for years of just traveling Ohio. The whole state's an undiscovered gem. And I encourage people to get out there and see some of the state. The other one is the Pickwa Historical Area. We were just there a couple weeks ago, and it's not real big, but they have a canal boat ride. It's a very well-done historical area. I know the director there. So just a few more to think about, and very interesting show. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Bob. 292-8513. We have about 10 minutes left here before the top of the hour. You know, if you've missed any part of this show or if you didn't have a pencil and paper handy to take down all this great information, we do stream the show on our website, WOSU.org. And also, if you did not know, Open Line is available via podcast. Just go to iTunes and search under WOSU or search under Open Line, and you can download this show and put it on your iPod and take notes from there. 292-8513, 292-8513, or you can email us at openline@wosu.org. Gary, if you had to pick one historic site to see in all of the state, what would you recommend? What would be the number one thing to go to?
I don't know if you could do it, if you could just do one. I could do some things that surprise me and impress me. I suppose I mentioned Fort Meigs as one site.
Yep.
There's been a lot of drama there. That might be a good one.
Mm-hmm.
And they've, like I said, they put a lot of money into that and got a really nice site. So that might be one that you would want to see.
One of the things you hear a lot about traveling Route 66 down in the Southwest, one of the things I've often, I had family who lived in Indiana for a while. One of the things I was always tempted to do was to just take Route 40 the whole way, either whether it be east or west, not go all the way to the West Coast, but, you know, go from take Route 40 from Columbus to Indianapolis. You see some lot of interesting things if you were to do that.
Oh, yeah, and you come upon things. Anytime you do that, you come upon surprises, and sometimes that's the best part of travel. You might see a little restaurant or a little museum.
An old motel or something.
An old motel. Yeah. And I think if you're open and you're willing to experience some new things, that kind of travel, just getting on a road and saying, I'm going to follow it for the next 100 miles and see what I see, is kind of a great way to travel.
Need a little bit of patience and a little bit of willingness to take a little risk. And
absolutely.
You have to plan to be spontaneous.
Absolutely.
Right. Not the best, maybe not the best trip with small kids, but it could be a fun trip. Mike, you're on the air. Go ahead, Mike.
Oh, hi. Actually, my comment had to do with sometimes you get members and sometimes one of the deciding members of the family who doesn't necessarily want to do what you want to do and go out and explore a little bit. So what I found is that if you tie in their interests, like, for instance, golf, we have some great golf courses around the state, really varied and really interesting. And if you tell them, hey, you know, we could go over here and we could look at this and we could play golf at this one course, it really looks interesting. Or, like, there are certain areas that have, like, barbecue and things like that. You could say, you know, if we went over here, you could try out this barbecue and we could go to this other place. And it's really interesting how once they get there, the people think, oh, I really like that place, mm-hmm. you know.
That's a good plan. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
We have an email question. Gary, I'll let you handle this one. Several Ohio presidents' homes to see here in Ohio. Where are they and how do you get there?
There are several. In fact, that would be a good little mini tour to do. You could do a lot of topical tours. You could do writers in Ohio or aviation sites in Ohio. Mm-hmm. But presidents is one of the best because not only do we have seven presidents who were born in Ohio, but we also have some first ladies, and the First Ladies Museum in Canton is a good site to visit.
Mm-hmm.
The interesting thing is Ohio claims to have eight presidents, but only seven were born here. Benjamin Harrison was born here and moved to Indianapolis when he was 21, and there is no Benjamin Harrison site in Ohio. But all the other presidents from Ohio do have at least some sites you can go to. Several cases, it's restored homes. Hayes, Garfield, Grant has several sites that you could visit. Harding, there's different places you could go to. Even Lucy Webb Hayes, her home in Chillicothe is a site you can visit.
What's the best place to get this information? The web, obviously. Is there a Ohio Historical Society or?
There have been some books written about presidents just from Ohio, so there's mm-hmm. a good bet to do it that way. And your library, obviously, is a good place to start.
Mm-hmm.
But you can just do a Google search as easy as anything.
And the state has a good tourism bureau. I think their 1-800-Buckeye number is a great place to call to get information on anything, museums, places to stay, that kind of thing, and also a good website. So,
discoverohio.com, is that?
I believe that's what it is. I tend to double check.
Because as I was putting $55 of gas into my car this morning, right there on the pump, was their ad.
That's a good place for it.
And it was touting – it really was. It was a stroke of genius marketing-wise. It was touting things in Ohio that are – I forget what the slogan was, plenty of smiles, not much gas or something like that. So, but it was – I noticed it this morning on my way in. Let's go to – who's been waiting the longest? George on line four. Go ahead, George. You're up. George, you're on the air.
Hello, gentlemen. I wanted to make everyone aware of a fabulous new site to see in Springfield, Ohio. My wife and I became aware of it about a year ago. There is a Frank Lloyd Wright home there that's called Westcott House. It was built back contemporary with when the Titanic sunk, early 1900s. And it's the only prairie-style home that Frank Lloyd Wright built in Ohio. But more importantly, late in his career, he put together a portfolio called his Osmus Portfolio of his most important works to show potential clients. And Westcott House in Springfield is included among those 15 or 20 works that Wright considered his most important. It fell into disrepair for decades. It was recently reopened with the help of a foundation. They did millions of dollars worth of restoration, and it is stunning.
Either of you been there?
No, but that's a great tip. It's a place I've been wanting to go. I mean, I've driven past there.
I used to live in Springfield
for years,
and
it was kind
shape.
Of a depressing sight right. to see that and mm-hmm. to see the work as it went on. That's a great tip. I'm going to get there as soon as I can, as a matter of fact.
Thank you, George.
And I have one other thing also. Now, this one's not in Ohio, but I just discovered it last summer. We were on our way back from Niagara Falls, and a friend of mine who spent summers with his grandparents in Pennsylvania used to spend a lot of time at a place called Presque Isle, Presque mm-hmm. Isle. And it is an isthmus extending out into Lake Erie that is 100% sand. It's a state park. It's a Pennsylvania state park. And it's stunning. It's such a surprise to see something like this on Lake Erie. It's great big, long, wide, sandy beaches, sand dunes, not like the great sand dunes in Michigan, but still sand dune, and just stunningly beautiful.
Okay. Thank you, George. Yeah, the lakes, I mean, especially you don't have to go way up to the UP and Michigan to really experience the beauty of the Great Lakes. You can be within 3 or 4 hours and see Lake Erie, Lake Ontario, and Lake Huron, Lake Michigan, the southern portions anyway.
Absolutely. And those are some, I mean, even, you know, just going up to Sandusky for the day or taking the ferry over to South Bass or Kelly's Island, mm-hmm. if you haven't done that, that's something, you know, any Ohioan has just got to experience at least once.
Okay. Let's go to Mary. Mary, real quick, please. We have about 2 minutes left in the show. Go ahead, Mary. You're on the air.
Okay. For the lady who has children to take around places, someplace that I took children that she might not know about is Orton Hall at Ohio State University has a geology museum, and they've got rocks and minerals and all kinds of things like that, and they've got one place where they have minerals that fluoresce. And what you do is you pull the velvet curtain, and then you turn on a certain kind of light, and you see the see them in their natural state, and then you see them fluorescing. And that was a big deal for children that I took there. And something that would be helpful is for people to know to look for calendars of events in Ohio. And one of my favorite places is Columbus Monthly has a calendar that I always check with.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I pick up at the Ohio Craft Museum on Fifth Avenue. There's generally a thing there that lists things going on all over the state of that type. And nobody has mentioned the Rock and Roll Museum. Cleveland is just loaded with things to do.
Yeah, okay. Thank you for the call, Mary. Yeah, Rock and Roll Museum up
I think
Cleveland.
I'm the last person in Ohio not to have gone to the Rock and Roll Museum. I hate to admit that as a travel writer. It's like I don't know if I've been putting it high, but anyway, haven't been there. I'm sure it's great. But
yeah. Coastside downtown here in Columbus, we have we mentioned the Underground Railroad Museum down in Cincinnati. There's just plenty of things to choose from, and we've just sort of scratched the surface, it appears, based on our calls that are here. So I'd like to thank our guest, Steve Stevens, travel writer for the Columbus Dispatch, Gary Williams, author of the book Historic Tours of Ohio. Thanks for joining us. Hopefully we gave folks some ideas.
Thank you.
Like to thank Linda Taylor, Elizabeth Wick, and Amy Jurevich for helping me this week as I filled in for Fred here on Open Line. Fred is back with an encore presentation tomorrow at 10 a.m. This is listener-supported WOSU and WOSU HD 820 Columbus and streaming on the web at WOSU.org.